time to switch the clock yet.
Okay. The topic we're going to try and learn about tonight, as you see on the paper in front of you, we're going to try to learn a little about the causes and roots, the Siba behind Galus Yisrael. In other words, we all know that a large part of Sefer Shmos, right, revolves around the Galus and Mitzrayim, the Yitzias Mitzrayim obviously being more, the more major section of Sefer Shmos. But we sort of take it for granted that the next 2 weeks we're going to be learning about the actual Sheba that Klal Yisrael went through in Mitzrayim. We always take it for granted that they were there, that was part of Jewish history, Klal Yisrael happened to be in Mitzrayim, etc. Without ever focusing all that much on what we were supposed to be, quote unquote, getting out of that. Why was there Galus in Mitzrayim? For example, we know, right, very, very clearly, when we speak about the Churban of the Tubat HaMikdash, the Chazal, right, very clearly take the time to describe for us the famous Gemara in Yuma and Daftes, right, to describe the Churban of the first base of Mikdash was because of these Averas, and were sent into Babel. That took place, this Galus, because of other Averas, and were sent into whatever country it was. The Chazal are very, very clear. What we're more familiar with, surprisingly, are the different explanations behind all the various Galias. Hanukkah, the Galus of Yarpen, we all know about the different machlokas that existed between the Chachmei Yisrael versus the Chachmei Yavin, about the role of a Seichel and things like that. We're all familiar with the story of the Galus of Purim in Paras and Madin, what was going on over there at their time. But yet, despite the primary role in Chumash itself that the Galus of Mitzrayim plays, right there, we oftentimes don't really focus so much on trying to understand what that was all about. Why was Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim? What was supposed to be accomplished? What was the purpose of that? Where did it come from? So that's what we're going to try to do tonight, to give a very quick overview of some of the different shitas that are there in both the Rishonim and different Maimari Chazal with explanations, etc., to try to get a better picture of what the Mitzrayim experience is all about. And again, just to emphasize one last time, and then we're going on, the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the actual quote-unquote exodus from Mitzrayim, that's its own separate sugya, that's its own separate story, what the limudim are, what the lessons that we took out of the Yitzias Mitzrayim. Today's focus is solely on the actual Galus that took place in Mitzrayim, was Klal Yisrael spent the 210 years down in slavery in Mitzrayim. And it goes like this. Let's start off over here. We broke down the topic over here into two very basic schools of thought. There's going to be a lot of nuances and a lot of different shitas within the umbrella categories, but there are two basic approaches that Mefarshim take, both in Chazal and in Rishonim, to explain the idea of Galus Yisrael. The first major conceptual approach that we have a whole list of Rishonim and Chazal that are going to describe the Galus in Mitzrayim as some form of an onesh, some form of a punishment to Klal Yisrael for a particular Aveira. There might be a lot of different opinions what the punishment was, what the Aveira was, etc., right? But the general theme that's going to bind this whole group of Rishonim together, we're about to take a look at now, is going to be that idea that there was something that we have to look for, what took place either at the time of that Galus or beforehand, that we can attribute the Galus to. This was done wrong, and therefore, as a punishment, the Galus in Mitzrayim took place. The other conceptual outlook that the Rishonim give on the Galus in Mitzrayim is something totally, totally different, which doesn't describe any form of a punishment. It doesn't attribute any kind of an Aveira and an Onesh that Klal Yisrael had to undergo, but rather, they looked at the Galus in Mitzrayim as having some, what we'll call right now, l'chatchila, theological purpose. There was a reason why, not for a punishment, but a reason why Kadosh Baruch Hu felt that it was very, very important for Klal Yisrael to be enslaved in Mitzrayim for a particular amount of time. And if we were to take that line of approach, we would follow that whenever the lesson was learned, whatever that lesson is going to be, Kadosh Baruch Hu takes them out of Mitzrayim, as opposed to the onesh / punishment approach, where we're going to say that we just wait till the onesh is completed, right? Whenever the punishment was there, then we move on and we go weiter. And when you're taking the what we're going to call again the chatzila theological approach, the chatzila, of course, meaning that God wanted them there. He said that was supposed to happen, not because there was a fault that anyone had, but God arranges that they be in Mitzrayim on a l'chatchila level. And again, you have to see what the theological lessons that are going to be learned from that the Galus and Mitzrayim were, which we're going to get to a little bit later on. As soon as you take a look, we're going to start right now with the what actually is the main school of thought, at least on a quantitative level in Chazal, is the idea of the Galus and Mitzrayim being some form of an onesh for some chatan that we're going to describe right now. And there's a very basic problem that you have with that, because the very first thing that anyone has to analyze when you want to understand the experience in Egypt, in Mitzrayim, is a well-known pasuk in Parashas Lech Lecha. We're going to start off with right over here, Perek Tezvah, pasuk Yigimah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Avraham Avinu, at the time of the famous Bris Ben of Esarim, he tells him the following message. Vayomer Avram, he tells Avram, Yadoa Teida, you should know, Kigeri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lolohem, your children are going to be gerim, strangers, in a land that's not theirs. Va'avadum, they're going to be enslaved, they're going to be working in that place. V'inu Osam, they're going to be afflicted in that place. Arba Me'el Shana, for 400 years. Okay? Now, that is clearly the place in the Torah that Avraham Avinu was given the nevuah, right? So he was foretold already that his children are going to go down somewhere. It's very, very clear when you look at the pasuk that the exact name, the location that this is going to take place is not mentioned by Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there is going to be a period of galus. Right? That is going to take place, period. Okay? It's also clear, right, that this is a known event, right? Avraham Avinu was told this from before. It's not a surprise when Klal Yisrael gets to Mitzrayim. One certainly can assume that the Nevuah was probably passed over by word of mouth to other people. It would sound surprising that his descendants, Yitzchak, Yaakov, etc., weren't aware that this was supposed to be taking place, right? And as such, any discussion we're going to have about the Galus of Mitzrayim to some degree has to be related back to that pasuk right there. Now, let's describe what we're relating back to. In other words, what do we want to be looking at and analyzing in that, and the pasuk that we just read? So first and foremost, there is a very glaring question that comes out over here, is that if it's true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling, right, Avraham Avinu already, I am telling you that I am going to send you guys down into a galus for 400 years, right, and this is part of my plan. We don't know why yet, so we're going to discuss that soon. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready for telling that, and this is what it is, you should know, etc., it becomes a little bit surprising, okay, when we look at what happens at the time of the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the extreme punishments that are given to the Mitzrim as the Yetzias Mitzrayim is going on, become a little bit surprising in that light. I'm going to try to put all these things together by the end of the evening. Why is that surprising? Because quite simply, right, a punishment, an onesh, l'chor, is given as a punishment, a consequence for a wrongdoing. You shouldn't have done that. You deserve a punishment. But if Hashem is already telling us, right, this is what I'm going to be doing, this is what's going to happen, what are the Mitzrim getting punished? Are they getting drowned and destroyed, etc., down the line? One is going to have to try to understand the context of those punishments. All they did was what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu is supposed to happen. That's supposed to be like that. Where was the wrongdoing that the Mitzrim had done? That's number one. Number two, that you want to try to be thinking about when you look at this pasuk over here is, how much of a prophecy, a foretelling of the future, is the pasuk of Yadoa Teida Kigeri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lolohem? What do we mean by that? If we're going to look at the Galus of Mitzrayim as an onesh for a chet, okay? The one then has to ask the question over here, was the chet that we're being punished for, did that already take place at the time that Avraham Avinu is foretold about the Galus of Mitzrayim? In other words, if Avraham Avinu himself had done something wrong, right, that Hashem is telling him, oh, by the way, you should just know that there's going to be 400 years of your kids are going to go through enslavement, etc., okay, we can understand that a little bit. It's surprising, right, that Hashem would be foretelling a galus for a chet that didn't yet take place, right? The obvious reason why that's surprising is because... Huh? So let's rephrase that into the classic old question about Bechira versus Yediya, right? In other words, if they didn't do anything wrong yet, and we know that it's very nice, God knows the future, but we living in real time know that we can choose, we can do tshuva, we can decide to do the right thing. But again, that's what I said before, the classic question of Yediya versus Bechira. We don't ever find in the Tanakh that a Kadosh Baruch Hu tells us, but you're going to get punished in this way for that amount of time for something you never did. You have the option not to do it. If we decided not to do it, whoever the person was that caused this Ogalus, right? In other words, like I said a second ago, assuming the Aveira didn't take place before this time, right? There was something that's about to take place, it's going to take place in the future, then we have the option about doing that. And maybe this whole thing is over. So what's Hashem saying over here? Huh?
Maybe if we wouldn't have done it, it would have changed.
So let's see. So let's see. So we got to move on a little bit over here. The first thing we're going to take a look at is the Rashi in this week's parasha. Okay, and we're starting with this really just because it happens to be when you're learning Chumash and Rashi, you'll notice this. So I just want to try to put it in the proper context, even though it's not really going to be the focus so much of what we're going to be speaking about. Rashi writes on a well-known pasuk, right? So Moshe Rabbeinu sees the two Jews that are fighting, Dustin and Aviram, right? And then Moshe tries to reproach them, tries to rebuke them, and then Dustin and Aviram basically yell back, and they tell Moshe Rabbeinu, oh, who are you coming over to us and telling us what to do. And Moshe Rabbeinu's reaction is recorded in the Chumash is, Achein, no dahadavar. Oh, now I know this thing. I know what I didn't know before, and now I have an insight into something. And what was? That's the Rashi calls it Medrash. Midrasho, no dahadavar sheisi tamalav. Now I know what I was always amazed by. I understand something I didn't before. Machatu Yisrael mikol shivim umot. Leos nirdim ba'avodas parach. What was the sin that the Jews did more than all the other nations of the world that they have to be afflicted by such backbreaking labor? Avoroa ani shem ru'uyim lekach. But now we see that they're deserving. I see the way they talk, the way they're acting with each other, etc. The pirud, the machlokas, the fighting that's going on. Fit mamish, they came to blows. There's fist fights that were going on. Now I understand what happened over here. So one definitely could have looked at that Rashi as somehow or another indicating to us that the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu has just discovered that the Jews are there in Mitzrayim was because of some issue of machlokas, of strife, of fighting, of not being able to deal with each other, etc. I just suggest a very, very carefully, if we look at the Rashi with a diktuk, we might realize that that's not necessarily exactly what Rashi's saying, but we're going to put this on hold until we see some of the other things a little bit later on. Because Lechara Rashi also might just be telling us over here, if you look at the words that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, what was the sin that they did more than anyone else? Leos nirdim ba'avodas parah. That they should have such back-breaking labor. Avodas parah. So it could be, right, that the reason why they ended up in Mitzrayim, right, the reason why they were enslaved even in Mitzrayim was not because of the fighting that Moshe Rabbeinu saw that was an illness that existed within Klal Yisrael. But could be what Moshe Rabbeinu was bothered by, very nice that there's whatever reason we're over here, but look at the intensity, look at the magnitude of the enslavement that's there. The Avodas Parach, not just Va'avadum V'ino, some of the afflicted, but this is mamish, really, really, really bad, right? Not just really bad, but really, really, really bad. And it was the three times really, 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 really bad that Moshe Rabbeinu was amazed by. Okay, we have to be here in Mitzrayim, etc. But did it have to be like this? Did it have to be so horrible? But now we realize, you know what? This is something that they deserve. When we look at the first Makar and Chazal that we're going to take a look at is a Gemara Masech HaShabbos and Daf Yudam HaVeis. The Gemara is a very interesting comment. The Gemara writes like this, Omer Rav Bar Machasi, Omer Rav Chama Bar Gurya, Omer Rav. We quote in Rav's name as saying, Le'olam al Yeshan Yeshane Odom Beno Beina Bonim. A person should never differentiate between one child over the other, shouldn't play favorites. Because of the weight, the measure of the two extra sela of silk that Yaakov Avinu gave to Yosef over the other brothers, this Echov, his brothers were jealous of him. His Galgel Adavra, an event started to roll. The Yorzo Abu Seinel and the Mitzrayim, and our forefathers end up descending down into Mitzrayim. Okay? Now it seems to be, when you take the Gemara at face value, right? The Gemara is telling us that what was the big lesson he learned? How did we end up in Mitzrayim? Right? Though the chait, we can perhaps phrase it in two different ways over here. Yaakov Avinu had done something wrong by favoring one of the kids. The kids certainly took it. The shvatim, the kids of the shvatim, HaKadoshim certainly took what was done in the wrong way. The kinna that existed, right? So you have two things that Chazal seems to be pointing out. But Tosis on the spot notes that he qualifies the Gemara tremendously. He says, Tosus, Afagav de Balav Hochi Nigzar. Now, even though even without Yaakov Avinu favoring Yosef over the other brothers, there already was a Gezerah, right? Shenema, like it says, Va'avadum V'ino Osa. Right? So Tosus already is bothered by that question. How can Chazal point to an Avera done by Yaakov or wrongdoing by Yaakov of the favoritism as the reason why they ended up there? No, way before we were told that we were going down to Mitzrayim. So Tosfos explains, Shemelo haya nigzar aleim inu kol kach. Maybe there wouldn't have been such an intensive level of affliction. Like we just went to in the Rashi before, right? There's different levels. There's we're going to be enslaved, and then there's the intensity of how horrible it was. Ela al yedei zeh. what caused, right, the level of intensity, the extremeness of the avoda that was on the avodas parach, that was the favoritism. That was the wrongdoing, the jealousy that resulted as an act of that. After all, we know that the whole calculation of the 400 years, anyway, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was being makel about it, right? If you look, there's a long Rashi in Chumash, Rashi describes how we calculate 400 years, even though it's really only 210. What's Tosa telling you? We see that there's a theme that God didn't really want it to be so bad for us. He makes it there 400 years, and he's cutting corners left and right. There's almost half the time, as a matter of fact, was sliced off the original Nevuah. Says Tosa, the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu sliced off time from the Nevuah, we also could have made it not that bad. But the reason why it was so difficult, and why there was such hard, back-breaking labor in Mitzrayim, that, the Gemara says, was the result of the wrongdoing, the favoritism that Yaakov Avinu had done. It's a relatively scary thought. Well, one thing like that, playing your favorites, one of the kids, can actually cause. But the truth of the matter is, that begs a question over here. A question that the Abravanel asked. We're going to discuss the ideas of the Abravanel later on. Abravanel points out, and this is a question that we're going to see a couple of times over the next mukkah or two that we're going to learn, that becomes very surprising, though, that kind of a mahalach. Why is that so surprising? According to the Gemara Shabbos over here, the Yerem Beis presents, right, the unfolding of the story of Mitzrayim. What was the ultimate, right, end, final result, reason why we had such a bad time in Mitzrayim? Like the favorite, Yaakov Avinu, right? Now, did Yaakov himself get punished for that?
No,
not in the slightest bit. Now, Yaakov, it's true, he went to Mitzrayim, but that really wasn't such a horrible time that Yaakov was there. What was that? But we're describing again, the way Chazal described, why don't we favor? Because you see the horrible result of the Galus Mitzrayim. Right, so that wasn't what it called. That wasn't the Sheba to Mitzrayim.
That doesn't necessarily mean that Yaakov didn't get punished for it. That just means that that's the result of what happened. The
Gemara is saying when it wants to give you the directive. What do I learn from the story of Yaakov and his son? Is Al Yeshana Ashana Adam Beno Bein Abad. Don't favor, right? Don't play favorites. It's not so you don't get jealous. You're not supposed to get jealous anyway. But the finger pointing that Chazal are doing is at Yaakov Avinu, right? But yet the gullus, the ultimate consequence that came out wasn't really levied out against Yaakov Avinu himself. And we'll see again as we go along, because this is going to be important. What was that?
That's the question.
The Rabbi asked a similar question on the next thing that we're about to learn. Okay, let's just remember though that Tosfos on this Gemara, okay, points out that the favoritism was not really the Avera that brought about the Galus of Mitzrayim. Tosfos is comfortable saying, no, there was a Gezeira, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a decree about the Galus. Tosfos doesn't explain to us why that was so, okay? And hopefully we'll have a little bit of a clearer picture why that might have been the case a little bit later on. The next thing that we're going to take a look at is probably the most clear description of the Galus of Mitzrayim. We found it in a Gemara Nedarim Daf Lamed Beis, a very, very well-known Gemara about this topic. Omer b'Yabo, Omer b'Yalazer. If Neimah Nena Shavram Avinu v'Nishtavdu Banu v'Mitzrayim Matayim v'Esther Shani. What was the reason? The Gemara says you can't get a more clear question than that about our topic here. What was the reason why? Now look at the wording of the Gemara. Who was punished according to the Gemara?
Avram.
Right. Why was Avram punished? To cause, resulting in his children being in Sheba and enslavement in Mitzrayim for 210 years. Now, already right off the bat, and this is what the Abravanel is asking, Avram Avinu didn't get punished in the slightest bit. What do you mean, Nenash Avram Avinu, right? This is happening way down the line. Is his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, not him in the slightest bit? What was done wrong? You also see clearly, though, in the Gemara, even without reading the answers, that the Gemara is telling us that the Siba behind the Galus in Mitzrayim was Avram Avinu. Right? Avram had done something that was wrong. What did he do wrong? The Gemara gives us three options, neatly numbered over here to make it a little bit easy for us. The Gemara points out there are three things that might have been. Number one, and they shall also angaria b'talmid chacham. Okay, we had that word angaria a couple of days ago. What does the word angaria mean? That was what I remember the story of Ammon and Moab we described in the Gemara's. You're allowed to make the Ammonites say angaria. Excuse me, you're allowed to make the Moabim angaria. You're allowed to mishavi, and they're very good. He enslaved, right? He enlisted a Talmud Chacham to pull them away from learning, to go help them out. Vishnamra, like it says, and this is discussing the war against the kings that Avraham Avinu had fought. Vayarik as Chanichav Yolidei Beiso, he armed, we're going to translate for right now, his Talmidim in his yeshiva. The Gemara points out, and Hazilim Mefarshim over here in the Dharm, he takes Eliezer out of the Beis Medrash, come and fight a war with me, come out and fight. And he was punished for that. You made an Angaria, you enlisted a Talmud Chacham to get out of the Beis Medrash, come help you out. That was wrong. Number two, the Gemara says Shmuel has a different idea. He questioned Hashem. He questioned Hashem's Midah. Shenamar, when Hashem promises him that he's going to get Eretz Yisrael, there's a question that Avraham Avinu asks, how do I know that I'm actually going to get it? How do you know? Because I just told you you're going to get it. Why do you have to question what the Kodesh Baruch Hu says? Rashi and Chumash happens to quote two different dais about that question if you look back in that Rashi. But according to Shmuel, that question, that was bad. Let me pass this. Rabbi Yochanan, but we'll see different ideas in a minute. Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Hifrish b'nei Adam li'ikarnes tachas kanfei yashchin. An unbelievable statement that Rabbi Yochanan makes. Avraham Avinu's entire life is designed to be makari people, to teach people and bring people closer to Yiddishkeit. Says Rabbi Yochanan in this Gemara, and he got punished though when he distanced people from coming to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar, where did he distance people? He says to Malki Tzedek, Tein li anefesh harachush kach loch. Let's strike a deal. Excuse me, he's asked, Tein li anefesh harachush kach loch. You give me the people, you take the money. And Avraham Avinu, according to Rabbi Yochanan, erred, right, made a very big mistake over here by agreeing to some kind of a bargain like that. What do you mean? Your job is to make sure that people are within the fold and learning, not to be given over to to other nations, etc. And he's going to be punished. Now, the three things that the Gemara describes over here that Avraham Avinu did wrong, we don't have time to read inside, but the Maharal Prague, you notice on the sheet over here, in the Gvuras Hashem, which is a sefer that the Maharal wrote describing the story of Galus Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Maharal writes over here, has a very interesting commentary in this Gemara. He says basically as follows, that there's a common theme behind all of these things, okay, that resulted in having the Jews go down to Mitzrayim. What was the common theme that was there? The Maharal explains, again, we're not going through all of them, but the basic common theme that the Maharal notes over here is and again, you'll understand why this is important, is a certain, ever so small, lack of emunah, a certain ever so small break in emunah. What does that mean? What does that mean? So let's understand for a second, okay? Let's get the picture down pat. Who's the rhetorical question? We all know the answer. Who's the father of all of Klal Yisrael, the one who brings Yiddishkeit into the world? Obviously, that's Avraham Avinu, right? So we all know there's some expression that tells us that a building can only be as strong as its foundations, right? The yisodos have to be very, very strong and firm in order for the building to be able to work. Says the Maharal Prague, if you want there to be a nation in this world that's going to excel in emunah and belief and monotheism and truth and emes, the foundations have to be perfect. Right? We're building a building that Avraham Avinu laid the foundations for that's supposed to last forever, ad vias govo, until the time of the Melech HaMashiach. It has to be perfect. Says the Maharal, these three things were little cracks in the cement on that foundation. Number one, right? Avraham Avinu is going out to fight a war. The ultimate boteach b'Hashem, right? Let's stop and think about this for a second, right? Who does he call in to fight Eliezer out of the basement? Now, what did he think he was going to do? He's fighting a war against five enemy armies that are here, right? So, mimanavshach, you want to enlist an army, right? Hire thousands of mercenaries. So I understand, okay, so that's gestadlus, that's the way the world works. But, if you're ready, right, going to walk against world powers with you and Eliezer, hey, come on, let's go fight a war, already basically demonstrating a pretty decent level of bitachon over there, but Avraham Avinu is criticized. But for that, right, to go by yourself already if you're going to be doing that. You can't do the same job. Rambo did it, right? He took on the entire Vietnamese army and the Russians, right, in two different movies. Well, you can't do the same thing. Go in and be a man. What's the big deal? Eliezer is a concession, right, to weakness over here, a weakness in the bitachon. He's questioning, that this is the most obvious one, questioning the Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise, right? He's questioning the Kodesh Baruch Hu's promise to him. That's clear. What are you doing that for, right? He told you that he's going to give it to you. Number three, the idea that he pushed certain people away Mitachas Kanfi Yashchina is the same exact theme. There could have been more and more and more and more Ma'aminim in the world, more people who might have known about the Ribono Shel Olam. You rejected them, you made a trade for them, you didn't keep them in your camp. That's less emunah, less Yediyas Hashem. That's already looked at as a negative. And says the Maral, the pshat over here is like this. For those cracks in those little breaks in the foundation of Emunah, of Klal Yisrael, Avraham Avinu himself, right, didn't necessarily suffer in Mitzrayim, but the Klal Yisrael has to go through a process that the Maral describes over here, where they're going to be built up in their Emunah again. Now one of the things, right, now, I shouldn't say one of, the main thing that the whole experience in Mitzrayim taught us, okay, when we witnessed being taken out of Mitzrayim, the Osos and Mopsim, the different miracles and Makos and all the things that took place was, and this we're going to come to a little bit later on when we get up to the Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, but all the Yesodos of Emunah, all the basics of Jewish belief that God exists, it's a Shachar Pratis, He's a Kol Yachal, He's omnipotent, all of those things came out, were shown to us empirically through the Yetzias Mitzrayim. So explains the Maharal, don't look at it as a punishment, a veira, boom, we slap you on the wrist. This is a necessary process that resulted from the problems, quote unquote, that Avraham Avinu had caused in the building of Klal Yisrael. That's the explanation of Maharal and our Gemara over here in the Dharm. The last place that speaks about Mitzrayim as an onesh is a very interesting Ramban. The Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, but even earlier than the Bris Bein HaBesarim, okay, even before that took place, already notes a certain problem that or a wrongdoing of Avraham Avinu. Right, you all know the story. Avraham Avinu comes to Eretz Yisrael, right, and the first thing that happens to him in Eretz Yisrael is what? A famine. According to Rashi, when Avraham goes to Mitzrayim, I hope you know your Rashi in the Talmud, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Huh? According to Rashi, that's a good thing when he goes to Mitzrayim. Why was that a good thing? He went without question. It says Rashi, Avraham Avinu could have turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and said, hey God, you told me to come. You know, I picked up, I traveled halfway across the Middle East to get to Eretz Yisrael. The first thing, this is my greeting, you can't even give me a dinner, you can't give me food over here, I'm starving. He had every right, logically in the world, to kick HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the face, kivyachal, chalil v'chas, and say, wrong, right? It's unjust. It doesn't make sense. He left with total bitachon. He turned around, went to Mitzrayim to get food, and without even questioning. Right? Ramban in his Teirush on that story, Ramban criticized Avraham Avinu. Ramban says no, it was anything but a good thing. Says the Ramban, listen to these strong words. V'dai, you should know, ki Avraham Avinu chata chet gadol b'shkaga. Avraham Avinu did a tremendous sin. He might have been by accident, but he did something wrong. He brings his wife into an aveira. She was taken away by Paro just because he was scared of what Paro was going to do. He was running away from the famine. He should have had bitachon. Stay wherever you are. Do what you're going to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you out. Hashem can do whatever he wants. Okay. Says the Ramban then a very interesting thing. He notes as follows. Where was it that Avraham Avinu escaped to when he was running away from Eretz Yisrael? He went down to Mitzrayim, right? Says the Ramban the following line. If you look in the place where the judgment was exacted, that's where you know the crime and the sin was committed. Why was Klal Yisrael being punished in Mitzrayim instead of Spain or Japan or anywhere else in the world? They're being punished in Mitzrayim, the Ramban says, because the sin that brought them to Mitzrayim took place in Mitzrayim. Where did that happen? Where did Klal Yisrael do an aveira in Mitzrayim? That was Avraham Avinu. When he went down to Mitzrayim, that was the problem. The Ramban actually says something fascinating in our Pasha. He says that Biramiza, when you know this Ramban, it clicks together in a really beautiful, beautiful way. What was the Gezeira that Paro made against the Jews? Kol Abeina Yilod, any boy that's born, what do? Ayora Teshlichu, you throw into the river. What's the next line in the Pasuk? V'chol Abbas and all the girls, Tichayim, you keep alive. Ask the Ramban, that's totally redundant. If there's a gezeira made, right, kill the boys, and that's it, kill all the boys. What do you in the mela know? You don't kill the girls. Says the Ramban, it's not redundant at all. Not redundant, slightest bit. There were two gezeiros. Kill the boys. Kol abas techayun doesn't mean leave the girls alive. What does that mean? Steal the Jewish girls for us. take the Jewish girls, assimilate them into Arab society. We're going to take them. Says the Ramban, why was there that gezeira? Because what did Avraham Avinu do back then? When he came down and tried to hide Sari Meinu, he didn't have the proper level of bitachon. Paro takes Sari Meinu. That took place again later on. That's what the Egyptians were doing. So the Jews, says the Ramban, the events line up perfect. Beautiful Ramban. It has a certain advantage to it, so to speak, that Ramban, because that story took place, like we mentioned before, before the Bris Bein HaBesara, right? Why is that important for us, that the story with Sarah takes place before the Bris Bein HaBesara? Because now we also understand how this is foretold to Avraham Avinu. You should know that this is what's going to happen. Now, he doesn't spell out why is it happening. It's happening because of you, what you did, but at least the chronology fits in a lot more, so again, philosophically understandable, according to the way the Ramban explains the idea. What? Right, as we pointed out. What? But then mitzvah, just he passed any son by not complaining about it. That's all Rashi said. Now, very, very quickly, because we're over time already, I want to let you get to the chaburas. The Barbanel quotes some other ideas, and again, his Perush and Parshas is left, a very, very long piece. The Ramban quotes some other ideas about the chait that took us down to Mitzrayim. Abarvanel's own shita here is very, very interesting. Again, if you notice, there's a lot that Argari has to say. I'm going to summarize it in two very quick lines. Abarvanel says basically as follows. He's bothered. How could it be, we asked the question before, that the people that are being accused of sinning, right, that results in the punishment of Mitzrayim, not even have gotten punished for it. Avraham Avinu didn't go into Galus, right? You want to say Yaakov did something wrong by favoring his kids, but he didn't get punished directly. It just doesn't make sense, your Barbara says. I can't accept that idea. Okay? We gave an explanation before, according to the Maral, how to justify what that meant, the whole idea of the building of Klal Yisrael. Okay? Your Barbara doesn't like that. Says your Barbara the following thing. You know what the chait that the Jews had done was? It was Davka, the people that went into the Mechiras Yosef, the Barbanel says. That Mechiras Yosef, that was the crime, right, that the Shvatim themselves perpetrated, that brought them down to Mitzrayim. They did it themselves. They ended up in Mitzrayim. They were the people that lived through that first generation of the real Galus in Mitzrayim. The Meila, we have a chait that's attributable to the very people that are suffering the punishment. But, just to finish up again, even a little bit quicker. We pointed out that there's some Mefarshim that take a very, very different approach. That they say that absolutely not. The Golas Mitzrayim was not a result of any chait. We gave a whole long list of sins that were done. No, not true. It wasn't a result of a chait. Perhaps even because of the reason that we spoke about before. There are different questions that exist. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu foretold a chait that never took place? How could the people who sinned didn't actually get punished, etc.? And the Barbanel quotes two other ideas that indicate to us what the, again, lechatchila of the Galus and Mitzrayim was. But first we quote a pasuk over here. There's a pasuk in the beginning of Devarim, okay? In Parshas Devarim, where Hashem himself is describing Mitzrayim, and he uses the following expression, very interesting line. Eschem lokach Hashem, vayotzi eschem mikur barzel mi Mitzrayim. Hashem took you out of the kiln. You know what a kiln is? Like a furnace, basically, right? But a not just a stam, a burning furnace, but a place where you make things, where you form either metal or clay, etc. And why did Hashem take you out of that kiln of the kura barzel, the iron furnace? Liyos lola amnachla. He wanted to make you his special people. Okay. In other words, the pasuk there seems to indicate that Mitzrayim wasn't just a punishment, but actually had a positive, constructive purpose. Right? Mitzrayim is a kura barzel, something going to get fashioned in Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael is going to be built in Mitzrayim. The Abarvanel takes that theme and explains in the name of two different Mepharshim as follows. First he quotes a Ran. Okay, not the same Ran we have on the Gemara. He quotes the Ran and says like this. The Ran writes, what's the idea? The Ran writes like this. In order to be a Eved Hashem, in order to be someone who's actually enslaved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows what it means, right, to be a slave, to listen to an authority, to be subjugated to somebody else, The way the Ran explained is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, listen, there is no way that Klal Yisrael is going to be able to experience properly a Kabbalah HaTorah if they're living the easy life, they're living who knows where, doing nice things, a smooth, easy existence, and all of a sudden I'm going to put a yoke on their shoulders, I'm going to enslave them, they're going to listen to me, it's not going to work. Says the Ran, quoted by the Bravenel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us, right, what it means to be a slave, what it means to listen to somebody else, what it means to have, I don't want to use the word no life, because that sounds like a negative. Obviously, Torah is a beautiful thing, and we like being enslaved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Hashem says over here, I want to teach you what it means to listen, and to be on call, to be subjugated. And that was taught in a very, very difficult classroom of life called the Galus in Mitzrayim. By the time we left, we taka knew what it meant, right, to listen to a master. We were ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. The final thing he quotes is somebody named Rabbeinu Chasdoi. Rabbeinu Chasdoi quotes a slightly different idea, that he says that Kadosh Baruch Hu plain and simply wanted the Jews to have a very strong sense of emunah. And the only way that Kadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to bring out the real lessons of emunah was a contrast. Go to Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a place that's Malei Kisha, filled of sorcery and witchcraft and all kinds of the occult and dark things. And then Hashem comes and says, very nice, you've been there, done that, seen all of that. I'm going to show you what's real. I'm going to show you the exact opposite extreme. Mitzrayim is also called by Chazal the Ervas Ha'aretz, the place of Arayas and all the Aveiras, all the physical horrible taivas and other kinds of voodoos and witchcraft. Everything was there in Mitzrayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you've been there, done that, you've seen it all, now I'm going to show you the truth. And you're going to have such an intense level of emunah when you see the contrast of what they do versus what I'm going to show you, that your emunah is going to be steadfast. And that's why, according to Barbanel, according to Rabbeinu Chasdoi, that he quotes, Mitzrayim was a lechatchila, it was an educational plan that Kadosh Baruch Hu had to be able to get us ready to be there. What was that? Could be. It's a fair question. Why did it have to be that they were so involved and so enslaved? A fair question. Again, if you look in there, he describes a little bit why. That's true, but the question is better than the answer. And that's actually why they're one of the reasons why Babylon doesn't like that particular approach that the Rabbeinu Chasdoi has to offer. But be that as it may, we've tried to give you an overview tonight of the different ideas that are behind the Galus Mitzrayim. Obviously, things we've been learning from, trying to understand, as we learn through the next couple of parashiyos. And please, I'm over there to your chaburah because you're running a little late.